I'm wrestling, do not weep for me. Celebrate what I am. Celebrate what I have been. Celebrate what I represent. And celebrate the many ways I have impacted your life. I will survive this test as I have survived others. I am forever etched into the very fiber of all mankind. The world needs me. Time is on my side. History guarantees me. I am wrestling. Do not wait for me.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode 91 of the Hero and Funky Show, brought to you, as always, by Defend Soap, Defend What You Built, in Dahlmer Mance. And Tommy, we are live and worldwide right now because I'm coming to you from Singapore and you're back in Ohio.
We are global, my man. Global, the global podcast.
Damn straight. Hey, so, I don't think there's a huge amount to talk about this. We really had the decommit issue last week they talked about. But I'm excited. I'm just excited for wrestling because I'm sitting over here in Singapore. I got to watch Michigan, Arizona State. I got to watch Ohio State versus Arizona State. So, you know, it's nice when I can watch these matches online, which definitely was not available to me even 5 years ago.
Right. No, it's the access to wrestling is good for a number of reasons. And it's cool, man. I mean, I got to follow all the results, watch some matches. I actually had the privilege of attending the Ohio State-Arizona State match, so that was nice. But just all that being said, the amount of wrestling we can consume nowadays is – it wasn't but 10 years ago, Ben, and we were just reading about this stuff in amateur wrestling news.
Dang straight. You could only find results in amateur wrestling. You could even get results online. Hey,
that's
so
right.
How about this Ohio State match? I think there's a lot to talk about there. Where do you want to get started?
You know, I mean, there's a lot of things we could talk about, but I don't think it should dominate the podcast too much. But
we don't got nothing else that important to talk about. It can dominate all you want.
Okay. Well, it was a good match. Both of the Jordan matches were good. You got Campbell versus Valencia at 65. You got the pin chain.
Okay, let's start with the pin chain because I love this. I need to know more about it because I don't know anything about it. Actually, let's start with something else, Tommy. Let's start with your man J.D. Bergman on the call by himself. Why are you leaving him hanging like that?
What do you mean?
Well, okay, so this morning I went back and I wanted to watch Ohio State versus Arizona State. So I got a link from someone on Twitter. I went and watched it. So it's 2 hours, right? It's not individual matches. It's just one two-hour clip. So, you know, it's hard to jump around and stuff and, like, if there was a takedown and I want to go back and watch it again, it was damn near impossible. Okay?
Right.
Funniest part about it was your man, J.D. Bergman, was on the call by himself for 2 hours straight trying to entertain us fans. And, man, I felt bad for him.
Yeah, doing that thing, I actually had some buddies that listened to it, and they said that he was just struggling because he had nothing to bounce any. You know, I've always been impressed with guys like Colin Cowherd and stuff who go solo on their podcast or their radio show now and again. And imagine you or I doing a podcast by ourselves. It'd be a lot more difficult.
Yeah, you know, I do my Mental Mondays by myself, but usually those are like 5 minutes or 6 minutes. And, you know, I'm hitting one topic. I'm not going all over the board, right? I mean, damn, JD. So, JD, I wrote down some classics here. Are you ready? Are you ready to hear these?
I am ready.
Okay. So I got my top three here. Number one.
Okay.
JD said that if you're an adult, if you're a parent, and you're doing fantasy football, you're a lowlife because you should be spending more time with your kids, and your kids are definitely better than entertainment. And Bo Jordan is still in college, and he's got two kids, and he's a great husband.
Is this verbatim stuff?
That was pretty close. He went off on it.
Okay.
Yeah. He definitely went off on that. He was definitely how a lot of people think entertainment's greater than their children, and they're crazy, and they're I don't know. You know, he went off on them. You
got
have to
it.
Listen
got
to it.
So what else do we got?
Okay, number two. He called. He called Tishon Campbell Mitch Clark. He's like, we got a regular old Mitch Clark out there. He's just turning him everywhere. And I thought, I didn't know. You know, Tishon did look good in that match, but, I mean, Mitch Clark is all-time legend on top, so I thought that was a little bit of a stretch. What did you think?
Yeah. A little bit of a stretch, but, man, he was pretty tough on top.
Yeah, we definitely thought that. And then number three, my third favorite, JD, I love you, baby. I hope you don't think I'm picking on you right now, because I'm not. But number three, and this is my favorite, he was whining because allegedly the security would not let him in because they did not know who he was. And he went on to compare himself to Kirk Herbstreit and said, can you imagine if Kirk Herbstreit couldn't get in and announce a game? Like, that's what this is like.
Oh, my gosh. These are the opinions from the cheap seats in Singapore.
Yes. Oh my God, it was glorious. I was over here dying. And JD also did not know what the pin chain was. So Jaggers needs to get with his boy and keep him informed, keep him in the loop.
So tying in with the pin chain, which I thought went over fabulously in the arena, and apparently it went well on social media. Jaggers called me like 3 days before the match, and he said, hey, man, you going to the match on Sunday? I said, I think I'm going to go. I'm going to take my boys with me. It'll be a fun time. He goes, wait till you see the pin chain. I said, what the heck? I said, what the heck's the pin chain? He goes, it's just like the turnover chain. I said, what the heck's the turnover chain?
I had never heard of this turnover chain thing either. I had no idea what this is. This is all new to me.
I hadn't either. And then he made fun of me for not knowing that. He said, you live in a hole. You're a moron. But he said, Google Miami football, and you'll find out what the turnover chain is. So I Googled it, followed it. And so for our viewers that don't follow,
well, Tommy, wait, let me tell you. When you told me turnover chain, I thought it was more of like an embarrassment thing. Like if you were stupid and you gave up a fumble or an interception, you had to wear this as a form of punishment. The turnover chain.
No. Yeah, it's the Miami football way now, where when you get a turnover, they put the chain on you, do a little celebration. You know, it kind of reminds me a little bit of like a curtain call when you hit a home run in Major League Baseball.
Sure.
And then they call it, the crowd almost calls you back out of the dugout and you wave your hat and stuff. So this is a more flamboyant, eccentric way of doing that. And the Miami football team, who's got a phenomenal defense, currently undefeated, does this on a regular basis, and it's kind of captivating.
Wait, time out. Miami's good at football again?
They are good, dude. I think they're number two or three in the BCS right now.
That's freaking news to me. I had no idea.
So at any rate, I think Jay independently thought of this, and I think his wife, who is an executive in the fashion merchandising space, she, I think, got
wait,
the
wait,
pin chain.
Now Jay Jaggers is married to a woman who works in fashion and merchandising?
That is correct.
That just explains so much. Tommy, everything is coming together perfectly on this podcast.
It's all making sense.
I understand Ohio State so much better after the last 10 minutes of podcasting. Please tell me she helps him pick out his suits.
I don't know. I think they help each other. I think he's so fashion forward that my presumption is that she utilizes his expertise as much as his skirts. They're helping each other in their careers, Ben.
Okay, so really, me this. How did he meet her? Was he like in the store picking out a fancy suit, and then he asked her on a date, or how did it go down?
Or
did they just have a love for fashion, and they just came together over it?
I don't know how the love affair began, but I know it was in college. They were both Ohio State students, and by the way, I mean she's great. She's awesome. Just had her third baby.
What's her name? So we can stop calling her her.
Her name is Kara Jaggers.
Kara Jaggers. Okay.
Yes.
So like
three kids.
Maybe
Jay's definitely outkicked his coverage, that's for sure.
Well, wait, so what did Jay study in college? Maybe Jay studied fashion and they had the same classes together.
Yeah, I believe he was a communications major, if memory serves.
Well, he probably took some fashion classes then because of his interest.
I don't know. So at any rate, back to the pin chain. I think this
I think Jay Jagger's love life is way more exciting than the pin chain.
more opinions from the cheap
okay,
seats.
Okay, wait, time out. Who's better at what they do? J.D. Bergman at performance or Jay Jagger's at dressing?
I'm going to go with Jay Jagger's at dressing. But J.D. Bergman, you know, calling a match by yourself for 2 hours, Ben. Let's be honest.
That's tough.
We would have hard. That's tough.
No joke.
So, at any rate, the pin chain went over great. I know I could tell that the athletes loved it when they, you know, when Miles Martin got to wear it, and Kyle got to wear it. I do think it's a progressive, modern day version of getting called out of the dugout after a home run.
Hey, Tommy, so you do know in 2007, I tried starting a pin dance trend.
I do not know that.
You didn't know that?
Tell me more.
You know, I thought, you know, part of the reason people get so excited about football is these idiots are dancing after every play. They tackle someone, they dance, they catch a ball, they dance. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
they're
right.
They're having a good time. And so, like, you can't do that in wrestling, like get a takedown and then say, hey, hold on, ref, I got to dance about this shit. Right? you can't go that far, right?
Right.
But when can you dance? Well, when the match is over. So if you pin someone, you get to dance on them.
Well, maybe we should have like a section that's kind of like an end zone off of the mat. And when you get a pin, you're allowed to spend 10 seconds in there doing whatever you want.
Oh, my God. I love this idea. So, yeah, so I tried to start this trend. I had 19 freaking pins in a row, Tommy. I had enough opportunities to dance on people.
Here's the problem, Ben.
What?
Something tells me you can't dance.
Well, I can't dance. I had some good ones, though. But, you know, I think it was more the fact that, you know, Flow Wrestling wasn't covering things live in 2007. And if Flow Wrestling had, like, a tracker every time I was pinning someone and they showed me doing a dance, I think it might have caught on.
I think you might be right.
I think my all-time favorite one, I pinned Brandon Mason in the semifinals, the National Duels, which sealed it for us over Oklahoma State. And I acted like I was riding a horse with the lasso, and I threw the lasso at John Smith.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
So, Ben, what's your overall take on the pin chain? You think it's something that's going to stick firm? Or is it just going to be this season?
I think it should be forever. And I think we should institute the dance box where that you go over the box and you get the pin chain put on you, and then you get to break it down for a few seconds.
I think we should do that. And, you know, I think what I really think this is going to start, and you got to credit Jay Jagger's for this. I just think it's going to start a celebratory expression after a guy gets a pin in college wrestling in dual meet settings.
That's what I was trying to do in 2007.
I know. And Jagger's picked up the torch, Ben. He picked it up. He dusted it off. And now we're here.
Well,
and
Ohio State needs to pin some more people.
Well, I also think what's funny is that Kyle Snyder has a very, very difficult time pinning. We all know this.
Yes.
And the pin chain comes out in one dual meet. He's 1-0 when the pin chain's in effect. He's 1-for-1 with pins.
We really need to.
It's true.
Okay, but we need to get Cale Sanderson on board because they pin way more people than Ohio State does.
Yeah, I bet they do something. I bet it's not a chain, but I bet they do something that's fun and exciting.
You know,
give
them like a hammer or something like that. You know, you get this like Thor hammer. You get to run around the mat and flex on some people or something.
Or maybe they should get on all fours and put the microphone in their mouth and they can do the Nittany Lion sound.
What is the Nittany? And the Nittany Lion has a sound?
Oh gosh, you gotta listen to this. You gotta listen to this Nittany Lion roar.
Is this serious?
Oh, in the stadium, it's unbelievable. I'm gonna Google this Nittany Lion. I'm gonna YouTube it. I bet it's really loud.
I have never heard of this in my lifetime. I am learning so many things today.
Ben, it snaps me like you wouldn't believe.
Really.
They do it, Nittany Lion Roar. They do it about, I would bet, 50 times in any given game.
Actually, I think Mark Hall did a little dance. Oh, shit.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, that was good. They could do that.
Hold on. Oh, man, hold on. What do you think of that?
That's scary. I could see Bo Nickel unleashing a Nittany Lion Roar after he gets a pin or something. I was thinking about it though, Tommy. I think Mark Hall did some kind of dance last week after he pinned somebody.
I bet he dances like you do, Ben.
You don't think Mark Hall's got any moves? Is that what you're saying?
Maybe.
Call it Mark Hall. Tommy, do you got moves?
You know, I got moves, but I've got to be – it's got to be pretty late into the evening, if you know what I mean. So
– All right. Now you're scared. But let's get on to this match.
I didn't see it that way, by the way. Oh man, I did. Anyway,
you're scaring our audience.
I didn't mean it like that. Oh, gosh. Okay.
All right.
We got to do more global podcasts.
Yeah. No, this is good. It's actually my Tuesday morning over here. All right. Josh Shields over Micah Jordan. Let's start there because I think we go 57, 65, 74. Those are really the important matches, or, you know, the wild ones. So Micah Jordan comes out on fire. Two early takedowns, but then Shields answers with a takedown at the end of the first. Micah Jordan can't get off bottom, then does not choose bottom in the third period and loses 7-4, man. I see that as a gigantic liability and issue that he can't get away. That's a huge deal, Tommy.
Yeah, not being able to get 1 point in the close matches, I mean, it's a problem. But I will say this, and people are going to call me a Buckeye homer. I wish we were talking about 74 first because you'll find out I'm not too much of a homer. But I will say this. It's Jordan's first big match up a weight class. He came out against a very worthy opponent and was up 2-1.
4-1.
And I just think that, you know, one, Shields has – Great hips.
Yeah, he does.
And I don't think Micah Jordan really respected him. He's up 4-1, and I think he kept going underneath. If you see all of the action in the neutral position came from Shields,
yeah,
countering right. Jordan. So I mean, as much as I agree, Ben, that bottom is suspect for Micah Jordan, and it's already cost him a little bit in his college career. If they were to wrestle that match again, I got to be honest. I think I'm taking Jordan.
But I mean that's okay. So right off the bat, though, Tommy, you know, essentially Shields starts with a 2-point advantage because Micah can't choose bottom, and Micah can't really ride Shields, right?
Right.
So I think that's an issue, and the other thing is, you know, both Micah and Bo.
I wouldn't call that a 2-point advantage because not being able to ride someone is not a point advantage for the other guy.
Well, it's an easy escape, right? It's something that she
yeah, but it's
to not
it's not a point. It's not a
okay,
point.
Okay, it's a 2-point swing. How about that?
That's fair. I'll take that.
Because if it was the opposite way, then it would be 1-0 one way instead of 0-1, right? So it's a 2-point swing.
It just Ben, I think we should poll our followers. But you know, when somebody's not good on bottom and there's just okay on top, it's a 1-point advantage for the other guy, not 2 points.
Well, I know. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying if you flip-flop the scenario, right?
Right.
So currently, right now, if that's 1-0 Shields because he can get away and Micah's not going to choose bottom, right?
Right.
Okay, well, if you flip-flopped it, it's 1-0 Micah. So that's essentially a 2-point swing, right? Because it's 1 point.
Okay. It's a 2-point. Yes, it is a 2-point swing.
So yeah, that's an issue. You know,
here's the thing: is I'm following you. But let's not forget that Micah Jordan is up at 57 for the team. It was 2 or 3 months ago, and he was up 4-1 against a very formidable opponent who just is on the heels of a good win over your boy, as you like to pronounce, Pantaleo, but as everyone else likes to pronounce, Pantaleo.
Yeah, well, it was a big weekend for Josh Shields. I'll tell you that much.
Right, and it was a tough match for Jordan, and the bottom was frustrating, but I will tell you, if they wrestle that match again, and this is not the Buckeye in me talking, I'm taking Jordan. Are you taking Jordan or Shields next match?
Shields.
Whatever. That's because you coached. That's because you coached at Arizona State. You're
no, I got no connection. I don't have any connection there right now. I just think that the being able to get off bottom versus not is a huge thing. You know, I think
it is a huge thing. I'm not going to deny it.
Shields just realizes now he doesn't have to take very many chances, right? Because of that fact, so you know he's going to make Micah take more chances, and really, you know, you could say Micah was up 4-1, but you could also say maybe Shields didn't come ready to wrestle. I mean, he gave up that first takedown in like a second and a half, so maybe he's ready off the whistle next time.
Yeah, no, that's it's all fair stuff. I think I kind of want to chalk this first loss up, but from Jordan as an adjustment into the new weight class.
Okay, so let's go. You know, it's funny, Arizona State was hot, cold, hot this weekend because now, man, what is wrong with Anthony Valencia? He got his ass kicked twice this weekend. Wasn't really competitive in either match. And, you know, Tishon Campbell, while he's pretty good, it's not like he's been an All-American before, right? And
it was 2-2 at Nationals last year. And if I remember correctly, somebody at the dual meet who follows wrestling closer than I do, told me that Valencia had a 2-point victory over Campbell last year.
Okay, and really, this was 14-0, but it really could have been. I mean, if Campbell has to try harder to get points in a third, he probably gets away, right? Number one, and then number two, one of those exposures in the first period, I thought very easily could have been 4 points as opposed to 2 points, which then puts puts it at 16-0. And you know, Valencia got majored by Massa. I mean, I want to go back to, and I have been told by people at Arizona State that I am wrong, but when people perform poorly at dual meets, I always say that's a weight-cutting issue. And I don't know what else it could be because Anthony Valencia was so good. I mean, he was so good in high school. I mean, you know, had more success than Zahid. And now he's getting his ass kicked 14-0 by Tishon Campbell.
Yeah, well, I got a few comments there, and I'm sure you feel the same way about the match, is that even though Campbell won 14-0, allegedly after a 2-point loss the year prior, I wouldn't say that he's 14 points better than Anthony Valencia. If you watch that match.
Why not? He just kicked his butt.
Well, I mean, I thought he looked great, and I think a lot of that kid for choosing to leave an environment and coming to a tougher one. And by all accounts, he's got a good attitude in the room and calls out all the best guys every single go, so on and so forth. But I mean, I would not predict Campbell to win 14-0 next time. I would say that it was a takedown earned in a very good series of top wrestling. Yeah. That you know, got him the win. But if they were to wrestle again, I'd still favor Campbell because he just looked great. He looked very powerful, very focused. But that was a good series of turns there for Campbell. It was a nice little run he had.
Yeah, definitely. But so why don't you think he could do it again on top if he got on top again? I bet he could do it again.
I hope he can. I guess I just feel like he caught him on a run. It was more of a momentum thing than anything. Okay. And again, I do think he'll win again. But I just think, you know, the reason it was 14-0 and not 5-1 was he caught a good run, caught him on his heels a little bit from the bottom position.
Yeah, definitely.
So, back to your Valencia point, though.
What's up with him?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, Anthony Valencia's greatest achievements by far are in freestyle.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's true. Yeah, you're right on that. Sure.
He's never really shown the folk style transition the way that Zahid has.
How come he can't go get a takedown?
You know, I don't know. That has nothing to do with freestyle, does it?
No, if you get takedowns, takedowns. Not like he's got just like a great gut wrench or something like that.
Right. Right.
What?
Yeah, it was a good match though. I mean, and boy, Campbell just looked great. And it looks like a guy that transferred to Ohio State with a purpose. So that was good to see, at least for Buckeye fans.
All right. So that's cold for Arizona State. Now back on the hot for Arizona State. Zahid Valencia, man. I've watched him versus Mark Hall. I watched him versus Amin from Michigan, and that match was 4-3, but it shouldn't have been 4-3. They should have called Amin for stalling like 7 times.
Right.
And then he beats Bojo 9-4. This guy's on fire, and you know, you and I were texting about his attack rate. He just keeps attacking and attacking and attacking and attacking, right?
And attacking. I mean, we talked about this. Well, we've always known it. We're not the only ones that have known it, but by the middle of summer, we were talking about his attack rate from the Junior Worlds, his attack rate in a 3-2 win against Hall, his attack rate on Sunday against Jordan. I think his attack rate in college wrestling is second to only Snyder, and I would say him and Nolf probably attack at the same pace, but he just goes. Yeah. And Ben, I do got to say, you know, our little debate we have here, that lefty
left leg lead. What's Snyder? Is Snyder a left leg lead?
Snyder's a righty.
Ha ha. What about Nolf?
Nolf is a righty, I believe.
What about Rettinger?
I don't know.
Okay. Anyways.
But that swing single to the left at a weight class as high as 174.
Yeah.
You're seeing it. I mean, and he had two. So he had 4 takedowns to none.
Yeah.
2 off of like whistle starts that I wouldn't say that they were cheap because it wasn't a rolling whistle start. He was lined up on the color. And he's just like a king cobra. That whistle blows, and he zaps that leg, and just really good wrestling, man. Really, really good wrestling. I do think that Bo could close the gap and make it a tighter match, but yeah. I think that he needs to figure some other things out in order to win.
Well, I will say this about that match, though, Tommy. That's number one, the takedown in the first period was definitely a takedown. They called it off. I mean, there's the whole that I think reaction time should be in wrestling, but it's not, right? They say there's no reaction time. So,
right.
You know, tough shit. Deal with it. That was a takedown. And number two, that unsportsmanlike conduct that was against him in the second period. Did you see that?
Well,
it was bizarre. I have no idea why it was unsportsmanlike.
I thought it was unsportsmanlike. Maybe
why?
It was a show. I mean, no, here's the thing. It was clearly unsportsmanlike conduct. It was
no,
intentional.
Wrong. I absolutely disagree.
It was an intentional unsportsmanlike action from Valencia. Now,
they were wrestling. Wait, they were wrestling.
No. Let me finish.
Okay.
They were in a position where it was a position where what he did had nothing to do with anything other than to
he was he was cutting him very forcefully.
No, that was not it.
Yes, that was what happened.
We need to get the video.
They showed the okay. Here's what happened, Tommy. I watched it a few times because they were replaying it while JD Bergman was talking about it. I don't think JD thought it should be on sports like either. So Jordan quad pods. And Valencia is kind of over the top of the head, like trying to like crank the head into a cradle, you know? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you.
Like
I was there.
Cradle. Okay. Now, Jordan's got his ass back, right? And he's powerful, so he's popping his head up. And so Valencia realizes, hey, I'm not going to crunch him up to a cradle right here. Okay? And so he releases pressure and just shoves him backwards. Okay? It wasn't like he punched him. The hand never disconnected from the head.
Listen,
so I absolutely don't understand. This is freaking wrestling. It's a tough sport. Why is that? It's that he didn't punch him. He didn't strike him. The hand never disconnected from the body ever.
So that was unsportsmanlike.
No, it wasn't.
I was surprised they stopped the match and gave him a point. But what he did had nothing to do with wrestling.
He just
Zero.
Wanted to let him go.
Oh God. This is terrible.
You need to go watch it again.
You need to go watch it again.
I just watched it 3 times less than an hour ago.
You weren't there. I was there.
Yeah, so which means you didn't watch the replay and I did. It's kind of like a weird scenario because it was like at first I was like, how the hell did that happen, you know?
It was really weird
because it's something you don't see. But then, you know, from my standpoint, Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking Valencia feels he's about to pop his head up, right? And he realizes that he can't clear his body away quick enough. So Bojo is going to have kind of a reattack if Valencia tries to let him go softly, right?
Yep.
And so he just shoves him, and Bojo goes flying backwards. I don't see why Zahid should get punished for being ultra-powerful and having great timing.
Oh, my God.
I absolutely – Tommy, you need to watch this again.
Oh, I'll watch it again.
Because the first time I thought – the first time I thought that maybe there was a whistle blow, and that was why – you know, maybe he pushed him after the whistle blew, and I thought maybe that was what the deal was. But that wasn't the case. The whistle never blew. He just pushed him. I don't understand what the issue is here.
That was well, we can agree to disagree on that. We need to get footage to verify.
You need to watch it again.
Yeah, you need to watch it again. at any rate, so, yeah, Valencia wrestled phenomenally. And Bojo's got some adjustments to make. I think if I were coaching Bo, I would probably have a partner that can create flurries on demand all the time against him. You know, I think Bo is used to being in control of almost every situation, even the matches that he's lost.
Yeah.
And I don't think Zahid was in control of the situations. He's just very accustomed and comfortable with nobody having control of the situations. And Bo is not. You can see that. So that's the adjustment I'd be making over the next 3 or 4 months. The good news, and I thought this even before the match, I said whether Bo wins or loses, it's good for him because he's not used to being tested this early. If you remember the past 3 years, he's been really hasn't gotten on the mat until January.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Zahid just, you know, he was the guy last year. Ben, I mean, he was the guy last year.
Yeah.
He had one loss.
You know what this does now? This probably puts, very likely, it puts Zahid, I don't think Zahid sees either of those guys again, so it puts Zahid at the number one, and it puts Hall and Jordan at 2-3, because Hall and Jordan will probably wrestle twice, right, yeah, at the duel in the Big
Ten. Friday night in Cleveland, Ohio, for the NCAA semifinals, that place will be rocking.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, and that's a huge match, right? Because it'll be probably on the team from the team aspect as well. Yeah, absolutely.
How about this? How about this prediction, Ben? That match will shift the momentum one direction or the other for whoever wins the title.
Yeah, I could see it.
Yeah, I think I'm right.
I mean, I'm not gonna say for sure, but I could definitely see that being in the possibilities.
Yep.
Yeah.
So what else do we got here? I mean, I thought it was interesting that Michigan didn't send out a 25 against Arizona State.
Yeah, I guess so. I just looked this up, Tommy. Drew Matten beat the number 13 and the number 7 guys at an open tournament this weekend. So, you know, maybe they're thinking about pulling him and they just didn't make the decision quick enough or something to that effect.
Well, you know, I as much as we're talking about Penn State and Ohio
State. Wait, but so was Assad hurt?
I'm not sure, but you know, you're in a tough duel with with Arizona State. I mean, I think they're holding out until they need to make a final decision here, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, something like that. Still early November on whether or not they should pull Drew out. They're probably assessing everybody else's progress on the team as well as Matten's before they pull a red shirt. But that's an interesting one there. If he's better than Assad, I'd pull his red shirt. Would you?
Man, I don't know, because they have such good recruiting classes coming in the future. I think there's a possibility that they could make a run at a title. I don't, you know, obviously it depends on how all those guys develop, right? But they're not going to make they could make a run at a trophy this year, but they're not going to make a run at a title this year.
Man, I give them an outside shot. I really do.
At winning?
Yeah, Ben, the only difference between Michigan's team in the rankings and Ohio State and Penn State, look at those rankings, is Ohio State and Penn State just have a little bit more of an advantage on finalist potential.
which is but not much, which is a very big deal.
It's a little bit more of an advantage, though, not a lot.
I mean, I don't see it, Tommy. Michigan can't beat Ohio. Because Michigan, it's not like they would need one team to fail, Tommy. They would need two teams to fail. Michigan, if Ohio State and Penn State wrestle to their seeds, Michigan can't beat them. And so you're talking about two teams, you know, two teams.
I said that. I didn't say they're the favorites. I said they got an outside shot. They got an outside shot.
I think it's no shot.
Okay. Okay.
No shot. Okay. We'll anyway. See. You made some bold predictions on this podcast.
I said they got an outside shot.
Well, and then you also said that Hall versus Jordan's going to determine the team race.
Well, I think it's just gonna. I think it's gonna be like the crescendo in the NCAA wrestling tournament where you'll see the tide. That's the first time you'll call a winner at the tournament. I think until then it'll be neck and neck.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Let's see. So that was the big stuff that we had going on this weekend. Other stuff. Purdue looked really good. They went 3-0 with what's up?
3-0 with the win over with the shellacking over North Carolina.
Killed them. Beat them 31-6. It seems like Tony Ursland has that program heading the right direction. That's pretty exciting. North Carolina.
We should have him on the show.
Have we not had him on yet?
I don't believe so. Okay. No.
Maybe after this season, because now we just have too much wrestling to talk about.
Yeah,
that it's gonna be hard to get to guests. And then NC State went 3-0 and they beat Oklahoma 27-13. So Lou doesn't have the program changed on yet. And then so at the Northeast Duels, the way they did it was they did the duels on Saturday. They came back and they did a individual tournament on Sunday. Yeah, I think the biggest match in the tournament would be Scotty Parker scored a 6-point near fall to beat number 3 Cade Brock. I think that was a pretty big win there.
Yeah, that's pretty surprising there. I saw that not that it's a big deal because I know that they're rebuilding a little bit, but I saw that Drexel and Matt Azevedo knocked off Iowa State. That's a pretty unique win. I think it's kind of a two-pronged deal there. One, pretty good job by Azevedo to be competing with Iowa State, even if they're underperforming right now. And two, that's some humble pie for the new staff, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. But, I got to think, looking at the roster, Dresser knew he was going to take some ass whippings this year. I think so. You know, the one thing there that everyone was so high on, the Austin DeSanto guy, the guy that beat Spencer Lee in the state finals.
Yeah.
And he ended up losing to Ian Parker, who, I know a lot of people are really high on Ian Parker, who's a Michigan kid at 133, and then also on the Kane Store, who's also a Michigan kid at 141 for Iowa State, both freshmen.
Yeah, well, DeSanto's a true freshman.
Yeah.
So, a lot of things can happen.
So the other one I didn't get to watch that I wanted to see, so maybe someone could tweet me a password, was Yanni Diakamahalis beat Nick Lee at the Bearcat Open. I know – those are two freshmen that people are really, really super high on. So Yanni beat him 12-7. I would really like to have seen that. So someone go ahead and tweet me up a password that I can check that out with.
Yeah, do that. I would like to watch. I've never really watched Diakamahalis wrestle.
He's fun to watch wrestle.
Yeah, I've heard that. And, a win like that is impressive. So
definitely. Let's see. Is there anything else that we need to hit? I don't think so. I think we have some more big matches coming. I gotta say, Missouri won 160. I think it was 161-1.
Well, there you go.
I don't know why they wrestled all three in-state teams in one day.
Wow.
So, and the year before I got there, Missouri lost to Missouri Valley. So it's Missouri's came a long way since then.
That's right, my brother.
Damn straight. Okay, that's all. I don't think I got anything else for us. Do you got anything else for us, Tommy?
No, I'm trying to think. We got we covered the Ohio State duel. We covered some of the journeyman duels. I'm sorry, the Northeast duels. We covered Michigan over ASU. We covered the red shirt deal at 25.
We covered J.D. Bergman's commentary.
We covered the pin chain, which we both think is incredible.
I love it.
I'm trying to think what else happened in the world of wrestling.
That's it. Brayton Lee just committed to Minnesota. I think that's a big pickup for Minnesota.
No doubt. No doubt. That's a big one. What else we got?
That's it.
I think that's it, man.
Let's call it a day. You know, we don't get paid by the hour here, Tommy, so we knocked one out. We're at 40 minutes right now, so I think that might be our fastest podcast ever. That's fine with me.
I thought we had some good chemistry tonight. You know, that global podcasting. We got to keep doing more of it.
I think you need to get a little more information on the pin chain, and we need to make that a more widespread phenomenon. And then I think you need to help J.D. Bergman with his future broadcasting skills because he needs a partner in there.
You know, if I had more time in the day, Ben, I'd do a lot of things that I don't do right now. So quit calling me.
Well, I'm happy that you take the time to spend 40 to 45 minutes on the podcast with me and the listeners.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I enjoyed watching, following you live on Facebook talk about, you know, what toughness really is from Singapore. Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah.
You called me right out, man. I was just perusing.
Yeah.
I like that.
So I do the Mental Mondays every single Monday, sometimes on a Sunday, sometimes on a Tuesday, but mostly on Monday. I have a lot of fun with that. I usually pick one topic every week and just kind of go off on it.
Yeah, it is good. I should probably do that too. Not really.
All right, Tommy. I will catch you later.
All right. Hey, good luck. Keep training hard, Ben.
Yes, sir. See ya.
Let's get it done, baby.
Bye.
See ya. You are listening to the T-Row and Funky Show brought to you by Defend Soap. Defend what you have built.